magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, July 7th, 2015. We'll begin the program with the reading of the Apostles' Creed by my special guest, Yahya.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us, men, and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he was born of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and for the life of the world to come. Amen.
And all of God's people said, amen. Are you energized, Great News Radio listeners? I certainly am. And wait till you hear Yahya's story. In fact, we began with this Apostle Creed because I asked Yahya just prior to this morning's program, what's maybe a favorite scripture or Bible story? And she said, well, at the back of the Free Methodist Church hymnals, the Apostles' Creed, and that God has used to minister to me like no other. And so I felt like we'd begin our morning program with that reading. And aren't those great words for all of us to start the day, to end the day, to be reminded of this creed that has lasted for centuries and been a guiding light for all of us. So, Yahya, welcome to the studios of Great News Radio. I'm so glad you're here. Holly's been talking about you and your faith journey, and I know you've been helping with the translation of Pastor Herb's messages because there's a growing number of Chinese at the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. And she said, I should hear some of your testimony. And so we've just only covered it for a few minutes off air, and so I'm kind of putting you a bit on the spot, but take us back to growing up in China, and we'll work our way through. I know you've been here 6 years. You're at the University of Illinois. You got your master's in environmental engineering. You're now working on your PhD. Are you officially Dr. Zhang yet?
No.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay, working on that, but you've been in the country 6 years. But you had an interesting comment to me earlier. At the age of like 10 to 12 years old, you kind of were praying to a higher power or a concept of a God. So did you grow up Buddhist? What was it like in China having a faith journey or not having a faith journey?
I think Buddhism is the most popular religion in China. But at that young age, I don't think I kind of know Buddhism.
Mm-hmm.
I just somehow believe there is a God or some kind of thing that is higher than what we can see from the earth. He or the thing may watch us from a higher place and judge us in a different way. Or they can see things which we can't see.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, were your parents encouraging you in this kind of exploration, if you will? Did they have the similar kind of concept of a God, or were they more Buddhist?
They are not Buddhism, but they kind of have higher moral standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind of very strict to me.
Mm-hmm.
They think I should help other people. I shouldn't do anything, like even a small thing You know, sometimes you can do that or it's not that wrong, but it's better you are not doing this. But even for those cases, they encourage me not to do those. Yeah, I think they are pretty strict about my moral standards. I think the best thing I get from my parents is freedom. Yeah, they give me a lot of freedom. Whatever I like, I can pursue it, and they wouldn't judge me or tell anything, oh, you shouldn't do that or you can't learn that. They give all the freedom to me. So that's why I think I have a lot of time to think about things going on the earth and around me. One thing is I think I'm mature early than other people.
When, and what point in your life did you start thinking about the United States and coming here for higher education and expand your understanding of the world?
I think at around that time, you know, at that time I always look at night, I look at the sky.
And this is around the age of 12 or so?
Yeah, at the age of 12, I look at the sky and there are stars. And I think there are other countries or other parts of the world. What is happening around there? And so I was always curious about different cultures and different things happened in other parts of the world. So that's why I always wanted to go to see other countries. And that's why when I was in college, so I was preparing for go to United States. We need to prepare for like English test and a lot of different tests and applications like that.
So you're now, what, 18, graduating from college at the time in China, thinking, okay, now I'm going to work towards a master's, and you started applying at different colleges in the United States?
Yeah, I applied several colleges, and U of I is my first choice, and luckily I got here.
And so this was about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
At the time, what, you're 19 or 20? I don't even know. How old are you now?
Is that a secret?
You keep that hidden from people? We might have some single men in the audience that want to know a little more insight. And okay, we can keep that maybe a secret here with our thousands of listeners. Okay, so you come to the United States. Now, at the time, you haven't really met many Christians, right?
No, I haven't met many Christians. I started to meet Christians, like a lot of Christians, when I started to go to church. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so your first introduction to a Christian, though, was on the U of I campus?
Yeah.
It was a classmate or an individual that was American, but he could speak Chinese?
Yeah, but he stayed at the Illini Union. He talked about, oh, do you know God? Or, like, do you want to learn about Christian? But although he talked with me, I didn't receive anything. Like, I didn't think spiritually or touch my heart. So it was my, not a classmate, like we went to the same college and we came to the United States at the same year. So at one time we were having lunch and we were talking about some spiritual pursuits or the way you think about the world. And then the way I answered, he said, oh, maybe you should go to our church and see whether you like the church or not. Yeah.
And so you attended a few services, I think, beginning at Twin City Bible Church.
Yes.
And yet it seemed like, you know, kind of a large church. And you're an individual that likes to examine how people live and how they live out their faith or how they live out their morality. And so you were kind of watching these Christians from a distance, but you weren't really yet reading the scriptures or praying to God yet, right?
I started reading the scripture while I was in college, but you know the first, the Genesis?
Genesis, yeah.
Genesis is like on the first day what God did, and I started from the first page, and that wasn't attracting, you know. And I'm a microbiologist, so I kind of learned like evolution or other things. So the first page always kind of turned me down, and that time, so that wouldn't touch my heart.
Now hopefully you didn't jump right to Revelation and start thinking, oh wow, the third of mankind is wiped away. did you have anyone kind of introducing you to maybe some of the Proverbs or the Gospel of John or other things, or were you at this time more or less just kind of watching the Christians around you?
Yeah, kind of watching the Christians around me. and kind of try to figure out, oh, what they believed, and based on what they believed, how did they behave? Yeah, that was the central question I had at that time.
And I think you mentioned it off the air, but you also referenced it with your parents. You know, they led like a moral life, and they encouraged you to do the proper things. And so that was one thing that you were noticing. There were some people that weren't Christians that were very moral and very caring and loving people. And yet you also saw some Christians that maybe weren't quite as loving or caring as these people that didn't have the faith that Christians have.
Right. Yeah, that was my concern, the biggest concern at that time. Yeah, and then that kind of slowed me down in the way to know God.
Now, I know you had a lab partner from South Korea, and isn't it like God to use people from all over the world to help you in your faith journey? Her name was Nagu. Yes. How did she help begin modeling Christianity or God for you?
We had lunch together sometimes, and I told her about my worries or my concerns about Christianity, and she told me, oh, the most important principle is your relationship with God is only between you and God. Don't be distracted by other people's behavior. Yeah, the relationship is between God and you.
Yeah, and I think you had referenced off air too what inspired you about the scriptures and how you began to say, you know, this is really true, because it painted reality. It painted people passionate about God, yet they fell short. They made poor choices, and the Bible didn't try to cover that up, didn't try to say you start following Jesus and then everything is perfect, that there is a tendency that we have that fallen nature where we make poor choices, or we want to obey God, and yet we have a tough time doing it or living it out always, and that's just the human nature.
Yeah, I really like that part. I like people who tell the truth, even if truth is hard, but truth is truth. And I believe if you tell the truth, it makes the life easier, because they don't need to worry. They don't need to worry about whether you are telling the truth or not. And then they can skip that step and then to think about, oh, how to solve the problem or how to deal with the situation. Yeah.
And I think, as you said, as you started reading the Bible on your own, now this is maybe the last few years.
Yeah.
You started seeing that this is truth.
Yes.
So was that maybe at a point when you said, okay, Lord Jesus, maybe I should follow? Like, when did you come to the point where you started thinking Jesus is not just a great teacher, but wow, he's somebody really incredible?
That's a hard question.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, I think that's God's glory or God's blessing. I remember for like 1 month, every time I drive or I'm alone, I wanted to cry, and tears was always in my eyes. I was asking God or asking like whatever spirit living around me, say like, why I'm here and what you are sending me here for and what should I do for my life. And why that happens to me, or how should I live this life? Questions like that. So for that month, I always wanted to cry. And during that month, I went to the church. And at the church, at that time, I feel released for all these questions. And I was so moved every time by our church, our worship, and our prayers. So at that time, I believe he's not only a teacher, but he cares about our life. Mm-hmm. He cares about every day. Everything happened to me. Yeah.
Yeah, for many people in their sanctification process, that growth period where, you know, you begin entertaining the idea, wow, this Jesus is someone special. The Bible records him as God's son, as the Apostle Creed recounts. You know, very God of very God, yet man, yet God, yet Savior, yet great teacher, miracle healer, and yet very personal and desiring to be with you and walk with you. and be that kind of companion. And so you're attending the Mattis Avenue Free Methodist Church. You're seeing other loving Christians around you. The word is being preached. The worship is encouraging you. And there's kind of maybe that tenderness in your heart to be receptive and feeling like he's now personal and he's caring for me. Was that some of the steps then as you started saying, Lord, I want to surrender more of my life to you, or I want to obey or follow you? Like, did that start happening, and is that continuing to happen?
I think that's God's guidance.
Mm-hmm.
God started to tell me to do something. Sometimes I can really hear God telling me to do something in my mind, and that was amazing. I never had those experiences before, but he kind of changed me. Not only I can see from myself, but also like the people around me. They can tell I made a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
Previously, I was a strong-minded woman. Like one of my advisors said that to me. And not only him, several of them told me, like, you are very strong-minded. If I determined to do something, no one would change me. And if I want something, I really want it. And, you know, like those things. But after I went to the church frequently, and gradually God grows in my heart, and it tells me to do the right thing, not the thing I wanted to do. And I can hear his voice, and I can feel he's doing the best for me. Not in the way I want to do it, but in the right way, and in a very, beneficial way for me. That really changed me. After a few times of those experiences, I really think God is with me, and I surrender my whole life to him.
Hmm. And I hope this won't embarrass a mutual friend of ours. You know Ferry, right?
Yeah.
When she was interviewed a year or so back, and I was in the Alpha course with her, and she was in from China. I think, I don't know how many years she had been in the United States, but I remember her saying, now if I follow Jesus and the Holy Spirit is like working in my heart, will he help me with my anger issues? Because, you know, Fairy,
yeah.
I mean, Fairy is very loving and sweet.
Yeah.
But she said, I have some anger in me, and I can get very angry. And I remember her asking that, and I was thinking, wow, what a special question for somebody to ask that doesn't know Jesus yet, but wants to know, will his power help her with that? And I think when I interviewed her and I brought that up, she said, yes, the Holy Spirit really is working with me. And I think it's that fruit of the Spirit, that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, you know, gentleness, faithfulness, and then self-control. And I think that's a key thing, that self-control that we can look back and say, God must be working on me, because my nature is to, like you said, to be driven, to be very direct or forthright, and yet maybe he's making that a little more gentler.
Yeah, I think those process happens, from my experience, happens slowly. Maybe like for a few months you couldn't observe it or you didn't see it, but the people around you, they may be the first one to observe it and to tell you, oh, I think you changed a lot. Yeah, like actually my advisor tell me that. You changed a lot.
Now, have your parents noticed a difference, or have you been able to communicate this new faith or this new journey you're on?
I try to tell them like about God. I think for them it's a little bit hard to believe. But I think my relationship with them kind of improved a lot. I haven't married yet, but some people told me once you get married, you started to understand your parents better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think after I know God, I understand them better. And I see another very important lesson I learned with God is, like, some people, they may be harsh on you, but at the same time, you can always see their weakness. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, God has a unique timing, and as he had this unique timing with you and your development, that could be the same for your parents. And maybe as you show and love them in new ways through Christ empowering you, they will see a difference and maybe be intrigued and ask questions and give you that opportunity to share. And that can be maybe in our closing couple minutes here, a couple things we can be praying for you. So we would pray that you could have an effective witness to share with your parents. What else can we pray for you?
I want you to pray for my faith in God and for the guidance from God about the life meaning, like the meaning of life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The direction that He would take you or lead you in?
Yeah, and how could I do better, like to love the people around me and to serve God better.
Mm-hmm. Now, yeah. You're working on your PhD in environmental engineering at the University of Illinois, and many times God takes us in our vocation to be His witnesses. So maybe it's to be a fantastic environmental engineer for His glory, or maybe it's a different kind of role, but that seems to be the pattern He has you on. Do you have a big test coming up or something?
Yeah, I have a big test for my PhD study. It's called prelim, and basically we say our proposal to the committee, and then they say whether you provided an interesting project to study on or to follow on. Yeah.
And so you've been working hard on that for maybe many years, many months, many weeks. Okay, so we'll be praying that up and asking God to keep you in the center of His will, which sometimes is a mystery, but as we step out in faith and invite Him to lead us and for His Spirit to help us walk in cadence with His leading, then that's the best we can do, and then see Him at work. Well, thank you, Yaya, for sharing your testimony and story on today's edition of Mark and Friends, and we'll be in prayer. I know God's using you at the Manus Avenue Free Methodist Church. You've been helping with some of the translations of the Sunday sermons.
Yes.
I know she's sending out like portions of Herb's message. I think it takes like 15 hours total for people to put it together and then put it into Mandarin, and then you and others will speak it on Sunday morning. So thank you for stepping out and serving the church. And I know our Great News Radio listeners will be praying for you in the days ahead. So thanks for being available for today's edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
All right, Great News Radio listeners, I'm throwing down the gauntlet, requesting some prayers on behalf of Yaya. And we'll update you on her progress and directions that the Lord leads her. So thanks for tuning in today. May you also have the same kind of prayers that God will lead you in the days ahead and utilize you in ways that are maybe stretching, maybe beyond what you could imagine or even believe. But God's in the business of using us in our weakness and doing great things. So draw near to Him and He'll draw near to you, as it says in James 4:8. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.